Well, good afternoon. And as you can see on screen with me is Jonty Sax from Jaltech. It's a, we're going to have a little bit of fun for the next hour, Jonty. There are lots of members of the BizNews community who invested in the 12B the last time, tax incentive investments. And of course, going back to the 12J, which was a few years ago when they closed that up. But it appears as though 12B is now, well, replaced the demand that there was for 12J. And if we look at how little load shedding we've had lately, I'm sure that what you guys are doing and channeling private investments into these solar investments is making an impact. But I guess we're going to find out more about that in future and why the South African government, which doesn't like giving tax incentives, has been giving such juicy tax incentives here on the promotion of solar. So, Jonty, you've got a lovely presentation for us. I think our community know you well. We know you well. You're a business partner of ours, of course, and you and I, lest we forget, still hold the record for the most bettable points in a golf competition at the BizNews conference. So we're still right up there, you know, record holders as partners, and look forward to what's going to carry on for the next little while, for the next hour. Just before we hand over to Jonty, who's got a very short presentation for us, to remind you that this is interactive. The question and answers panel is, in fact, why don't I ask Stu to help us here? He's much more of a technical guy. Stu?
Thanks, Alec. Good to see you again, John. Just on that control panel Alec was mentioning, there's a Q&A option. If you put your questions in there, Alec will be able to pass them on. But just quickly before that, there's a little high-five button on that same control panel. If you can see Alec and Jonty on screen and hear my voice, can you please give us a raise your hand, as they say. There we go. Alec got some raised hands coming through. So all good to go, both.
Fantastic. Thanks, Stu. All right, Jonty. You know Zoom better than I do. So over to you, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, so Alec, just to a couple of your points, and I think there's a couple of interesting discussion points between the two of us here is, you know, this is obviously a very exciting tax incentive, far more tax deductible than Section 12J was, and very focused. You know, so Section 12J, fund managers could invest into most sectors except for a couple that they couldn't invest into. But Section 12B and 12BA particularly is very solar focused, and the incentive has been really taken up really well. It is driving growth in the solar market. You know, we've particularly seen it, but the market itself is really it's an exceptional market to be in. It's booming. You know, we've been through the cell phone era, the cell phone boom, the fiber boom, and this is certainly the solar boom, and it's taking place really because there's enormous demand in the market for energy. You know, we can't be reliant anymore on Eskom. Well, we can certainly be reliant now until the 1st of June, post-elections, and then I'm sure load shedding will kick in quite nicely.
What do you know about that? I'm hearing, I got a phone call from someone who really knows these things. Yeah. He says that Eskom is buying billions and billions of rands worth of diesel and pumping it through their gas plants. And that's what the reason why we don't have load shedding. But I like to be optimistic and think it's people like you who are bringing money into the solar side that is helping us to get over this the scarcity of electricity. But what's your thoughts there?
Yeah, so, you know, I follow the market very, very closely, and who you've spoken to isn't making these this information publicly known. And really what the experts that I read is they're really saying it's a bit of a fluke. It's timing. It's, you know, Eskom maybe have just gotten it right for the time being until, you know, more maintenance takes place. But, you know, they're not fooling anyone. Eskom came out a couple of months ago and they said categorically, until 2027, we will have load shedding. So it's definitely not gone away. I think personally, it's a more political stunt. And however, they're keeping the lights on, you know, they're just trying to get more votes before the election. So I don't really have anything material to share on the point. But what I can tell you is it's not going away.
That's logical. It's very rational. If you're a politician and you own a supplier of electricity, which they do, you would make sure that you're going to get that business that you own to make things easier for you in the election that's coming up. So, well, let's enjoy it until the 29th of May. After that, I guess that's the point. We'll be back to normal.
Yeah. And you know, what's quite interesting is, you know, the solar market at the moment, it's been driven by load shedding. And I don't for a moment suggest that people should be taking up solar purely because of load shedding. But it's a constant reminder to a homeowner, to a business owner, every time the lights switch on and maybe the generator then kicks in or they stay in the dark, that, you know, one needs to do something about this to, you know, enjoy the normal standard of living that we had for so many years. So load shedding is a constant reminder. And we, you know, what we're seeing now in our business is a sharp decline in interest for solar. And as soon as there's load shedding, a spike. And I think they're experiencing that quite significantly in the residential space. But that's the short term. The long term, which people will start to realize over time, is that the cost effect of solar is meaningful. You know, so just I think on the 1st of April, we had an increase of around 12.5% by NERSA. And these increases are going to continue. And I think it's public knowledge. It's not an assumption that I'm making. And just the cost of electricity will become very, very expensive. And what we're seeing in our business is, you know, if someone wants solar only, we could probably price in around 92 cents to 99 cents per kilowatt hour on solar only. If you got, you know, if you offer that to someone in the Eastern Cape, they'll fall over to take that. You know, their peak tariffs are around 3 rand, even higher. So there's a huge cost saving, massive cost saving. The difficulty is if you don't want load shedding at all, you need a battery component. You know, many people don't know this, but if you don't have a battery or a generator running in parallel with the solar panels, the panels don't produce electricity. It's like, it's, you know, when I first found this out years ago, it was quite a strange thing to consider. So if you're a business owner and you want to get off the grid, you have to have batteries. And now batteries have an impact. They're very expensive. And that then pushes up the price of that you'd be paying if you were looking to buy solar or to finance it. So over the long term, people are going to just continue to buy into the solar revolution in South Africa. And, you know, an extreme example is what's happening in California. And in California, the supply of solar during midday is so high that there's such an enormous amount of excess electricity that's literally being wasted. That's how much they're producing. So I don't know if we'll ever get there. But definitely what we're seeing in the market at the moment is real. It's extreme interest in it. And if you look at the numbers are impressive. So last year in, you know, rooftop solar, so residential and in the commercial space, over 2,600 megawatts were installed. So it's an enormous number. And that number is just growing, you know. So the experts predict that that'll go to around 3,400. And the following year, 3,600 in the next year. And that's really saying over the next 3 years, we're looking at like 10,000 megawatts. It's an enormous number. And I think it's very realistic, if not, you know, understated in terms of what we're going to see in this market. So it's an exciting market to be in. And as a business, we saw this over 2 years ago and we really geared up our business to take advantage of it.
Great. It is also a tax incentive from the government. And as mentioned earlier, the socialist government doesn't like giving away incentives to the private sector. It was forced into a corner by extreme and growing load shedding to get something, to do something. And in this way, opened up a opportunity. I'm sure they used the 12J idea, went back to it, which of course they said wasn't working. Which was I'd love to know who wrote that report, because everything I could see, if you've got a tax incentive after 10 years, you're starting to really, really attract capital into it. It tells you it is working. It had taken a long time to get there, but finally it was working. And someone at Treasury said, no, they didn't see the benefit. Really stupid, given that most South Africans who've got money are taking money offshore now. So And these were 12 jet was staying here, but that's another argument. Getting on to solar, this government, who removed tax incentives, came in with a tax incentive because they were in a corner. Now let's take it one step further and see exactly how that incentive works, Jonty, because not everybody kind of, you know, watches the or reads what Enoch Godendwana says at the budget speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I firmly agree with you. I think Section 12J, with any incentive, there are some rotten eggs. And I think Treasury honed in on those rotten eggs and they said that it was being extremely abused. You know, Treasury had the option of making amendments which would prevent the abuse, but they decided to cut it off, you know, I'm guessing so that government can really raise more taxes. But with 12BA, they've really said, guys, he has a huge tax benefit, like help us roll out solar. And I think that's worked. And, you know, and it's worked, you know, for our business. So, you know, what we, you know, I'll take the listeners through the tax incentive in a second. But, you know, where we've really positioned ourselves is, you know, we've gone to market. We raised a lot of money last year, over 350 million rand. And we had a look at the market and we identified a couple of issues in the market with your traditional institutions that were funding solar. And, you know, the problem is we found is if you're a business owner and you wanted solar, if you went to a bank, the banks would only give you 70% funding. And for a lot of people, businesses, they weren't ready or aren't in a position to lay out the balance. You know, it's a big capital outlay. If you're, you know, a relatively decent sized farm, it's 10 to 20 million rand. If you're a hotel, it's a similar amount. These are, you know, these are big numbers. So, you know, so we came up with a solution where we could, through a power purchasing arrangement, fund the entire solar installations and then sell electricity to the business owners, and they wouldn't have to put down a cent. And this really meant that it's, you know, they're getting off balance sheet funding for solar on their premises. And that was a game changer for them, where, you know, if you went to a bank and you wanted to own the solar, you would have to put down 30% or sign security or sign sureties or impair your balance sheet. And it was a hindrance for a lot of businesses. And so we financed the whole project. And the unfortunate part for banks is they can't give long-term funding. So there's 7 or 8 years, which in solar doesn't really make sense. You know, so we took to market a solution where we could fund up to 20 years. You know, we wouldn't fund batteries for 20 years. They don't last 20 years. They last 10 years. But for the PV component, we could do 20 years. Now, when you finance solar over 20 years, your annual cash flow requirement from the solar is less than what the system produces. So in other words, someone may be paying us 700,000 rand a year to buy electricity from us, but the system's producing 100 million rands worth of electricity. So they're in a cash flow positive position, you know, typically in year one, where if you went to the bank, it'd be the opposite. They'd be paying the bank a million and only enjoying 700,000 in electricity and having a cash flow negative impact. So this solution was quite innovative and really, really appealing. And then really the last thing we saw that the market needed was quick turnaround times. So what we did is we built up an enormous team, and I'll share a couple of slides just to, you know, put things into perspective for everyone. Alec, I assume you can see these slides.
Yeah, you can see them.
You know, yep. So you know, so my partners and I, we got together and we realized that you know, the size of the team you need to really provide the market with good service is immense. And there are a number of people that haven't even joined our business yet that should be on the slide, but when they join, they'll join. So, you know, at the moment, we've got 6 fund managers. It's led by my partner, Derek Hyde. He's one of the co-founders of Geltech. And he's supported by a really incredible team of financial experts. But over and above them, we've also got three full-time lawyers in the business. And, you know, that strategic thinking was enormous for us, given the amount of deals we have to do to deploy the capital. And we've got a big sales team. So, you know, this combination has really given us an opportunity to build quite a significant business in this space. And really what our thinking was is to really canvas the market, you know. So last year, between myself and one other, we met with over 500 solar installers. And it was a really challenging year. It was really, really hard work. Obviously, you can't do business with 500 installers. Many of them are inexperienced, don't have the footprint they need, the team they need, etc. But obviously, within that, there's the cream. And as a business, we've signed a lot of deals with solar installers, players within this market. You know, we've signed exclusive term sheets for over R1 billion, and in the hope that we'll be able to generate a significant amount of deal flow from these solo installers. And, my next 2 points will surprise anyone listening to this is this year from January to date, we've quoted on R1.2 billion in deals. And on a weekly basis, we are receiving quotations from solo installers between 50 and R100 million every single week. So every single week, we're sending out indicative term sheets, proposals, and then once they accept it, we then go through a long process of really doing a due diligence and a credit analysis. And only a fraction of these deals actually make it through, you know. So at the moment, just for this year, I think we've got R111 million of deals which will be presented to our investment committee in the next couple of weeks, and we've already approved over R80 million worth of deals. So the immense top of the funnel sales requirement in this market it's insane. It's big. I've got a team of four just in the business development side. So we're seeing a heck of amount of deals. We think that this will increase significantly post elections, for election reasons, but also because of load shedding. And it's worked, you know. So in the last financial year, which I say, the last 6 months of the financial year, we installed over 27 megawatts of capacity. Deployed R365 million. We now manage 159 solar projects. And for reasons I'll explain in a moment, is probably the most impressive thing on this board is we deployed 93% of investors' capital. And that is a critical point, because in Section 12B, if you don't invest the investors' money within this financial year and the system doesn't produce electricity in this financial year, you don't get your full tax benefit. So what we say to our investors is invest early with us. So we raise tranches. So we're raising a tranche now. Invest with us early, and your likelihood of being fully deployed is extremely high. If you invest with us in September or October, it becomes lower. So our investors were fully aware that we were never going to deploy every single cent that we raised. But if you invest early with us, that likelihood is really extremely, extremely likely. And
just explain that, Jonty, yeah. Sorry, just explain that, because that's really a critical, critical issue. I know quite a few people who invested towards the end of the last tax year were disappointed because their money, and it's not, I'm talking about you, but across the board, their money wasn't actually allocated to a project. So as a result, they didn't get their tax benefit, I think. But
no.
Let us understand it.
Yeah, so... So the tax incentive is very clear, and I think it's very smart from government. Is they said that if you are looking to claim a Section 12BA tax deduction, you can only do that if the solar is producing electricity. So what government is saying, we'll give it to you, but get solar up and running urgently. And what that means is, if you give us money today, and if we don't invest, let's say you give us R100, if we only invest R50, you'll only get a tax deduction on R50. The other 50, if we invest it in the following year, you'll get a tax deduction. So what's critical for the listeners is, if you've got a tax problem, don't wait until September or February to invest, because you'll find you'll be able to invest, but the chances of getting a full tax deduction is extremely unlikely. Just there isn't enough time. You know, so what we did in January, as you well know, is we raised a fund which gave investors only 100% tax deduction, because we knew that we couldn't build new projects in January. We could only buy existing projects. So if you buy an existing project, you only get 100% tax deduction, not the 125%, which I'll explain in a sec. So, and you know, moving on to that point, and I'll just share some slides, is This tax incentive is extremely attractive. It's, you know, it's almost you're almost foolish not to consider it. So, and I over the next two slides. I'm going to show you why. So let's assume for a moment you earn 5 million rand, or your taxable income is 5 million. Maybe you sold a property, or if you're able to do that in South Africa, or you sold a share portfolio and you got a big income, your sale, your gain, you add it to your taxable income, and now your taxable income is 5 million rand. If you don't invest, you will be taxed on 5 million, and you'll pay around 2 million rand in tax. This same investor, if they invest 1 million rand, they can deduct 125% of their investment against their taxable income. So that takes their 1 million rand investment to 1.250 as a tax deduction. So you can reduce your taxable income by 1.25 million rand, and you'll only pay tax on 3.7 million rand. Okay. In other words, you're paying 1.5 million rand in tax. And the saving is really 562,000 rand. This assumes you're in the top tax bracket. If you're in the low tax brackets, it's still very attractive. But assuming you're in the top tax bracket, just for ease of explanation, you'll either pay less tax in August of 56% of what you invest, or you'll go through your e-filing, you'll do a submission, and next year you'll get a refund of the tax you've paid of 562,000 rand. And that is what this incentive offers. Now, what we've done, which is further enhancing this, is we've added some gearing into the investment. And that really changes things for our investors. So what we've done is, we've just done this for our first tranche of investors, is we raised debt from one of the premier banks in South Africa at a really great rate for our investors. And by raising debt, it allows our investment to buy additional solar equipment. Now, if you're an investor, by us buying additional solar equipment, you, through the partnership structure, you own additional solar. So you get another tax deduction, even though it's debt. So if you invest with us in this financial year, if you're in the highest tax bracket, invest 1 million, you're getting 56,000 rand on your million. We then raise debt. If we invest the debt, you'll get 289,000 rand in addition. And with some cash flows from the investment, you should receive around 900,000 rand back in this financial year. 90% of your money back. And what this is really saying is, instead of paying tax, rather invest some capital with us, because you're going to get 90, you know, if you're in the highest bracket, you're going to get 90% back in this financial year. You're going to have 10% of your capital locked in. Within a couple of years, you'll get that back through returns. Your alternative is paying SARS. You're going to get no returns from that. You're going to hit potholes. You're going to have no electricity. You're going to have poor health system. Yeah, you're most likely, very highly likely, going to get a return. You know, we're investing this money not into venture capital opportunities. We're investing it into solar, and these produce nice yields. If someone doesn't pay, we collect it and we install it somewhere else. Yeah, we'll lose some money. But as long as we do our credit right, in other words, as long as we're selling electricity to really credit-worthy businesses, and, you know, what I illustrated earlier is we're seeing huge deal flow. It's incredible. And that gives us an opportunity to really do transactions with the cream of the market. And we've done that to date, and we'll continue to do that. And investors should get a really nice return. You know, it's a 10-year investment, so the lock-in period for this investment is long, but you de-risk straight away, and that for us is really the game changer here. And you know, if I talk about, you know, what I'm doing in my personal capacity this year, is I'm going to be investing probably the largest sum I've ever invested in my life into this, because I just don't want to pay tax, and I'd rather take the risk on the opportunity, which I think is extremely low, and earn a nice, and you know, nice yield for the next 10 years.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think the fact that the world is becoming a more dangerous place, you know, in the past, if you have a look at a failing country or failing infrastructure, I mustn't say failing country, we're still a democracy. Mm-hmm. But if you look at failing infrastructure, you would say, oh no, I want to go somewhere where it's better, where the infrastructure is better, where life is better. Well, life is not better in many parts of the world that we look at now. So if that's the case, it kind of adds to the disincentive to take that route and increases the incentive of staying where you're happy. And I mean, you know, where your family might have been for hundreds of years. So why not then make yourself state-proof? And you were at the BizNews conference in Hermanus only a month ago, and David Ansara was talking more about that whole state-proof. I like that story. And this, if you're going to be state-proof, the one thing you've got to do, as we have learned as South Africans over the last decade or so, is you've got to get it your own electricity, which means, and we got lots of sunshine, which means solar. So you set yourself up. So the demand for this part of the economic sector is not going to tail off anytime soon. In fact, as more people do what you and I are doing, which is committing ourselves to this country and just making our lives better in this country, making ourselves state-proof, then the demand for solar will continue to grow. So if the government's going to help you to do that, what a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, what a lot of people think about this country from an investment perspective is they say, I'd rather have all my money offshore. And investing in something like this would lock them in South Africa for 10 years. And who wants to take that risk? Well, the beauty about this investment is if you're getting 90% of your money back in year one, you can just invest it offshore. Take that capital, invest it offshore. So you'll have exposure here. If you think it's going to go to the dogs, okay. But you're gonna invest the 90% offshore. Obviously, this investment, unlike any others, is not without risk. And I wouldn't say to anyone, go onto our website and just fill out a form and invest. You know, have a meeting with myself or someone in the team, really understand the investment properly. This isn't enough information for anyone to make a decision on anything. But yeah, you know, state proofing is who isn't doing it? You know, in Joburg, which you did well to escape. You know, we're having water issues. You know, so at my house, I've got backup water. Just you can't be dependent on anyone. And you know, I've even been overcharged huge amount by Joburg Water, which I'm now fighting. You know, so it's a difficult environment. And if you can state proof, you know, you simply have to.
Yeah, I love Joburg, and I've spent many, many, many happy years there. The decision was taken with a very heavy heart to leave Joburg. But I can tell you that there are parts of the country, and particularly in the Western Cape where we now live, which work, and you can see, you know, the point that you were making about water. I left, Chanti, it's an aside, but I think it's quite relevant. There was a burst water pipe at the home that we hadn't quite sold yet when we moved. And that I ended up having to pay 80,000 rand to Joburg Water because of the water that came out of the burst pipe. Now, I don't know if it was their fault or my fault or the original infrastructure, but what it did say to me was, you've got to be there. You've got to be on site. You've got to be checking all the time because a lot of those pipes, particularly in the older suburbs, are now getting old. And if it's your bad luck that the water pipe is burst inside your property, then you're the one who has to pay for it, not the municipality, even though they might have installed it in the first place. So there are lots of new challenges that one has to look at in that side. But the state proofing is such a smart call. And no one wants to leave their home, their place where they grew up and where they know, you know, we know the environment. We're not Americans. We're not Australians. We're not British. We're South Africans. So this is our home, but let's make it into a home where we're not reliant on incompetent people who actually mess up your day to day. So solar's all about it. We've got a couple of questions. And by the way, just to remind you what Stu said earlier, this is interactive. So all you have to do is just go and click on the Q&A bar at the bottom there, and you can type in your question. Let's start with this one. They're both actually from anonymous people. And by the way, you will remain anonymous because I will not say your full name. I'm not going to say Jonty Sachs asks. It'll be Jonty asks. So there's no way, even with the best wall in the world, if someone wants to track you down, that they're going to get to all of you if I just mention your first name. So the surname, it'll come through, but I'm not going to mention that when you ask the question. This this anonymous attendee wants to know what the maximum and minimum investment amount is in a 12B.
Ours is 500,000 rand. That's the minimum investment value.
And the max?
No, there's no max. So, you know, 12J had a max of 2.5 million rand. There's no max in 12B.
So let's just say you have a tax liability of 1 million rand this year, and you put in 4 million rand into this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you carry that forward, or are you just being dumb in doing that?
No, you can carry it forward. So we have a tax opinion, and, you know, again, please don't rely on what I'm saying. You must always get your own advice, but we have a tax opinion that you can carry it over, and we received a similar tax opinion with 12J. So for an individual, our understanding is you can put yourself in a tax loss position and carry that forward. And that's most likely my intention for this year.
Jenny wants to know, what is the investment's annual return, and is it assured?
No, it's not assured. There's no guarantees in the investment. The average yield is 8% in the investment. If you look at the IRR, in other words, the internal rate of return, it's very high. So pre-tax, after fees, it's, you know, around 40%. After tax, after fees, it's around 21%. Now, these are type of, you know, IRRs you expect when you're investing into private equity, but the returns are very high, largely because of the tax benefit. The annual yields, they're good, you know, they are, you know, they're attractive. They scale up over time, so they're low in the first years, and that's because we want to offer competitive pricing on our electricity. We want to be more competitive than Eskom. As Eskom goes up, our rates go up, and then it becomes really attractive in the last, you know, the last 6-7 years. Really, the returns are really nice. But you must remember, you're generating returns on really 10% of your investment value. You're giving us 1 million rand, you're getting 900,000 rand back, and you then only have 100,000 rand, and then you're generating really attractive returns. And that's how I look at this. You know, I'm being de-risked in year one, I'm getting a great return on the balance of my capital. And, you know, I think that's how a lot of people should look at this.
But let me just understand this. You put in 1 million rand, you write back 900,000 in year one. There's an 8% return on the investment. Is that on the 1 million rand, not on the 100,000 that you got riding?
On the million. On the million.
You get 80,000 rand a year.
On
an investment of 100.
100% correct. But as I mentioned, in the first year, I think it's 45,000 rand, then 52,000 rand, then 60,000 rand, and then it scales up to over 100,000 rand. When you add those together, you divide it by the term, 10 years, it's around 80,000 rand.
Correct. But it's still 45,000 after you've... Okay, just keep it real simple. You've got 1 million rand in tax. You're writing back 900,000 of that. You've got 100,000 rand that you're out of pocket, if you like, between you and the tax man. You will get back 45,000 in year one. That's a 45% return on your investment.
Yeah.
And that grows. Yeah.
And that grows. And, you know, to the questions, it's not guaranteed, you know. So what's really happening in this investment is we own solar through our investors' money, and we enter into power purchasing agreements. We sell electricity to big businesses. If those big businesses go under, well, then you're not going to get the 45,000 rand in year one. You'll get less. But there are risk mitigants. And as long as we really evaluate the businesses that we're entering into well, then your risk's really low. And, you know, what I was trying to explain earlier is we are seeing such an enormous amount of deal flow that we really think we're getting the cream of the market. So we really think the businesses that we're engaging with and doing deals with, there are the businesses that are not going to default. Some will, you know. At the moment, we have 159 assets. They're all performing nicely. And there's going to be defaults. But again, your risk generally is diversified across many businesses, you know, anywhere between 8 and 15. So if one goes down, you're not going to lose all your money. You'll lose, you might have lower cash flows for a couple of months until we redeploy the asset or they start paying, but it's not going to go to zero. So, yeah, I hope that gives people a sense of the risk here.
Yeah, well, you're using the investment principles of diversification. You're using the tax benefit that comes from the government, which really needs to get its act together on electricity. So there are a lot of planets that are aligning here that make it an unusual and hence superior investment. Another anonymous attendee wants to know, the projected 90%, that 900,000, is presumably based on being in the top bracket. What would the projection look like for those who are in somewhat lower tax brackets? For example, someone with an annual income of 500,000, 800,000, a million.
So there is a point where this doesn't really make sense. You know, so if you in the tax bracket, you know, of, I think, you know, in the 30s, low 30s, you might not necessarily want to be investing here. Your refund is a lot less, but I have the numbers in front of me. So, and you know, maybe I should just share my screen so that it'll give everyone, you know, a good understanding of the numbers as opposed to just trying to follow with what I'm saying. So, you know, this slide will give you a sense of if you're in the top tax bracket, in year two, you de-risk 94%. In year three, you fully de-risked. If you're in the 41% tax bracket, in year four, you completely de-risked. But in year three, you receive 92% back. If you're in the 39% tax bracket, around 90% in year three. If you're in the top, in a 36% tax bracket, 83% in year three, 90% in year four. But by and large, you know, you're receiving in most of these scenarios in year two, at least 75% plus of your money back, which is unheard of, you know? So if you're investing, a million rand and you get 250,000 rand back, in year one, you're generating 45,000 rand on 250,000 rand. It's a really, really good return. But it's, again, you know, it's not genius from our side. This is the type of returns that one generates providing long-term solar. The tax benefit is outstanding. And, you know, we want to just give investors consistent returns for the next 10 years. And I'm very confident that's what we'll achieve.
And that's after paying the interest on the gearing.
That's after the interest. All the amounts that I mentioned are after fees, but they're before tax. So, you know, if you're in the 36% tax bracket and you're earning the 45,000 rand, you're only going to be paying 36% on that, and obviously much higher if you're in the higher tax bracket.
So the turbo boost, if you like, is because you are borrowing money. And that is that exactly. Is that debt guaranteed? They're not going to look at your record and say, no, we don't want to lend to this guy. Is it backed by something other than your personal surety?
So I love that question, Alec. We raise debt for every fund. So there's no point in us raising debt in January for our first fund because we'd only deploy it in this financial year. So we've just raised for our first fund. We then need to raise for our second, et cetera, et cetera. So raising debt is not guaranteed. The principles of all our funds are the same. And the deal structure that we have with our banking partner should by no means change. So we're very confident that every year will, or every fund will just simply will raise the debt. But what we've managed to do is ring fence the debt against the solar assets. And what I mean by that is if there's a default, and let's say there's, you know, there are not many examples that I can even, there are no examples that I can think of, but let's assume this investment goes completely belly up and the bank has the right to sell all our assets. And that's all they can do. They can only go after the physical assets that our investors have invested with us. They can't go after the investors in their personal capacity. So it's ring fenced. Obviously, there'll be significant impacts on investors. You know, assets will be sold, tax will be incurred. But again, you know, the principle of diversification is here. So we're very diversified. I think this risk is really not significant, but I'm really comfortable to take whoever has questions around this on a one-on-one Teams call and to explain, you know, what the risks are. So for sure.
I was asked the other day to sign surety for a couple of hundred thousand rand, and it reminded me of something. I interviewed a guy years ago, very famous South African, and he said, "You know, Alec, the man who signs surety is a fool with a pen." If you were asking your investors to sign personal surety, well, then that would be something to recall. But that isn't the case here. The bank's surety is on the asset, not on the individual.
To sign surety where you're not managing the investment is, that's a risky move. And that's not the case here. So,
Mike's question is, have you completed the deal with Sun Exchange? And are your numbers of completed deals including their operating systems?
I can't reveal entities' details. I can't exclude this type of information. All I can tell you is we've done really some incredible deals, and there's positive news that will enter the market, and we'll do a press release, and Alec, you'll be the first to know about it, but we've done some really fantastic deals. So I can't comment on Sun Exchange. What I can tell you is they're incredible business, and we hope to do lots of business with them.
Who are they?
So Sun Exchange is one of the premier solar developers, and what they've been doing in the market for many, many years is providing long-term solar solutions to the market, so whether it be schools, in the agricultural space, retail space, and they go and they'll finance these solar projects and then manage them for the next 10, 20 years. And I can tell you, Alec, they are incredible team. We've been working with them for a long time. We've financed many, many of their transactions. But there is an announcement to come, a very positive one, but I can't give the details away.
What about my favorite, Go Solar? Have you done any business with them?
I'd love to do business with them. I know Andrew and the team extremely well, but they're incredibly well funded, and they've got big, big backers behind them. We've knocked on their doors many times, and hopefully when the time comes and they need capital, they come to us. But, they're a great outfit, and they're doing really well, and I think they'll continue to do well. And it's a really, great residential market to be in. So,
it's so interesting there. Just after, I think, my very first interview with Andrew Middleton from Go Solar, I had a phone call from a guy I've known for many years, and he was very extremely successful in business. And he said, he's quite upset because he can't get through to this Andrew Middleton guy. He wants to invest in this company. I guess the fact is they've got investors. The investors are happy, and they probably are enjoying the benefits of a 12B on this. I don't know what their finances are, but what this guy should have done is you'd come to Jonty and said, "Well, okay, I like the story. I can invest with you." It's similar, isn't it? I mean, clearly, it Go Solar is a brand and it's a separate business, but it's a similar thing.
Our business models are not too similar. So we see ourselves as in the motor industry as the West Bank of finance, where we finance solar, West Bank finances cars. That's how we see ourselves. And Go Solar, they want to finance and manage, and they're on a subscription basis only. So not exactly the same from a return perspective. I think if you invest into Go Solar, you're looking for a private equity like return based on the subscription model. If you're investing with us, you're getting a massive tax benefit and you're getting a nice yield for the next 10 years. So different, but yeah, both I would imagine very attractive.
Yeah, and of course they are they're a company that manages. You're a company that invests. So, what do you look for? And just by the way, I'm just to remind you that if you'd like to ask a question, we've only got 15 minutes left. So please go onto the chat at the bottom or the Q&A. Click on Q&A and type your question in. I will not disclose your surname, so you can ask any question you like, as sensitive as it might be for your own tax affairs. But Jonty, when you go and make your investments, you say you met with 500 installers in the past year. Do they come to you and say, here's a project that we've got with this townhouse complex, for instance, would you fund it for us?
Exactly. So We're not a solo installer. We don't want to play in that space. I think we think that there's a conflict. If we were, we've been approached by a number of solo installers to invest. It's a conflict. We want to be the West Bank of the solar industry. So, a solar installer will bring us a client. We'll have a look at the size of the project. So up until recently, we were only financing projects of 5 million to 75 million. We now have a very exciting proposition, which we'll take to market on the 1st of June, where we're going to finance 1 to 5 million rand. I think from our investors' perspective, it's a nice market, very diversified. The yields are amazing, much higher than 5 to 75. And then you also have incredible diversification across many businesses. So we've built a team in the space, and they're getting to know the space better and finalizing legal agreements. And then so what happens is the solar installer will bring us a customer. We'll have a look at the size of the project. We'll then give them an indicative pricing, to really see if they're interested. And if they are interested, then we go through a process. There are two processes, one on the solar installer. We're not in this business to finance a small solo installer who's got no experience or track record. We're just going to burn our fingers. So we only deal with prominent solo installers. Then, assuming we're happy with the solo installer, well then, and the customer's happy with the pricing, we then go through a really grueling credit vetting process, exactly how the banks would do it. We'll have a look at their financials. And what's critical for us is their energy consumption. If they're a high energy consumer, great. If they're in a high tariff market, even better. And then we have a look and see if they've actually been paying for the electricity. We don't want someone who's consuming a huge amount but owes Eskom millions of rands. So if we're comfortable with the credit, healthy businesses paying the electricity, we'll then go and take it to our investment committee for approval. Where we're really looking in the market, so we love doing business with solar installers, and if there are any listening to this, reach out. We'd love to have exploratory discussions, and we've given them solutions. So on the one hand, we'll do your standard power purchasing agreement where there's a fixed amount every month payable, but we're also happy to do arrangements where the customer only pays for whatever they consume, and there we're only prepared to deal with real, exceptional solar installers who guarantee production, and then we can charge a high yield, and our investors make even a higher return. But there's one more point that I wanted to mention is areas that we are focusing on at the moment is, we're not sector specific, and where we're looking at a lot of opportunity is in the with property funds, unlisted property funds. Someone might own a strip mall, might own a mall, or and they're looking at electricity. We have a really, really fantastic solution for them. We're doing a lot of business. We're actually financing a large mall in your previous neck of the woods in Newcastle. That deal will be concluded in the next week or so. Agriculture, hotels, large residential estates, it's a big focus of ours. So, anyone consuming a lot of electricity that has a good balance sheet, track record, we'd, really, really love to engage. And the most impressive part, Alec, and just, shouldn't be revealing this because I have no doubt competitors are listening, is our turnaround time. So, if someone sends us a quotation at 10 o'clock in the morning, they'll get indicative pricing the same day. And there's no bank, there's no financial institution in the country that I think can give that kind of level of service. And it's really because we back this market. We in this market for beyond 12B. 12B is just, it was just an incredible way to leap into the market, but we're going to be in this market both in South Africa and Southern Africa for many, many years.
You say beyond 12B, is 12B got a limited period?
12BA, which is in its current form, is only around for the next year. So if you want to claim 125 tax deduction, this is your final year. Next year, most likely, it'll just be 100% tax deduction, which is incredible. It's the same as 12J, but it's not your 125%. So, and as you said earlier, governments don't like giving away tax. At some point, I don't know when, maybe 4 or 5 years' time, 10 years' time, they may do away with Section 12B. But our intention is there are other opportunities in this market which we want to. We are going to be getting involved in.
Corey wants to know what happens at the end of the 10-year period.
So at the what we're currently seeing in the market is we're signing, on average 13.5 year power purchasing agreements. Okay, on average, some are longer, some are shorter. On average, they're 13.5 years. But we don't want investors invested for that long. We want them invested for 10 years. So our intention is to sell the remaining contracts to one of the large financial institutions. And there are many in this market, Sasfin, Mercantile, Merchant West. There are many, many that buy long-term contracts. We want to sell the future revenue at a discount to a large institution. The methodology around calculating that is it's basic. It's been around for many years. And we'll sell those future cash flows and our investors will get a nice lump sum, which is taxable at the end. If we don't, just means investors will get really nice cash flows for the remaining term. But our intention is to sell it. We incentivize on a performance fee basis. We incentivize to sell it at the highest price. And if we do, our investors make really a lot of money and we earn our performance fee. And that's really our intention in this on exit in this investment.
Peter's question is, I'm dealing with farmers who want to use my newly designed agrivoltaic solar mounting system. Carry on using the land under the solar while generating power. There is a premium on the extra steel, but use of land far outweighs this. Do farmers qualify for, Peter said 12J, but clearly we're talking about 12BA.
Yeah, so the two sides of 12BA or 12B is a farmer can use his or her own capital and invest in solar and get a tax benefit. If they don't want to and they want to finance it, then we would look at entering into a power purchasing arrangement with them. And so, farmers are a big focus of ours. We've done a number of farmers in really remote areas, and it certainly does work for them.
What kind of farms, Jonty?
So one farm is a sugar farm, and there's a big requirement for irrigation on the farm. And we financed a large ground-mounted solar to run their pumps. We financed a piggery, in the middle of nowhere. And we are looking at a number of poultry farmers. So the big poultry players have all taken up solar. The medium to smaller guys are now in the process, and there are a number of farmers. And we are also in the midst of finalizing a large deal with one of the biggest, players in the farming space to finance their client base. So farming is it's ultimately a no-brainer for them. Ample space, the cost of electricity is cheaper than the tariffs that they're paying in these remote areas. So, farming, we think it's going to be a huge market in this space.
Last question is, who manages the project you finance and who will pay me my 8% a year?
So the solar installers that bring us the projects, they will manage it. And we pay them a fee, a really sizable fee. The returns I mentioned is after their fees. And they get an annual fee, which is market related, to manage the asset. If they don't, we then replace them. But it's very, very, all the big players, a big part of their business is we call O&M, operation and maintenance. So they'll do it. And we, as the manager of the investment, we charge the end consumer on a monthly or quarterly basis. We receive the capital. We pay all the fees to all the participants, and then we pay the returns to our investors. But I just want to make it very clear that the 8% is on average over the term. In the first year, it's lower and it scales up over time.
Right, as you said before, so 4.5% roughly the first year, and then 5.5%, 6%, and so on and so forth. So
exactly. It
goes forward into the future. Well, we're coming to the end of our conversation. I mean, that hour has just really flown by. Jonty, what do people do now, listening or listening to the podcast or watching the video or indeed here live with us at the moment? Where would they? What's the next step in participating?
Well, for those that are seeing have registered for this webinar, we'll work with Stu. We'll send out a a circular to them, and they'll have whatever information they need to get hold of us, and also brochures on the investment, etc. So they'll be really well informed. For those of you who didn't register and are listening to this on the recording, you know, simply go onto the business website. There is either a banner or click on one of our articles, and there's a landing page where you can express your interest. By expressing your interest, myself and my team will receive an email, and then we'll reach out to you and set up a meeting or provide you with whatever information you need. So they can absolutely do that. But this is also, I'd also like to extend that not only to investors, but also to if you're a property owner that's looking at financing solar, reach out to us. If you are a solar installer and you know you think we have a proposition which you're excited about, you know, use the same channels, reach out, and we'll schedule some time.
And that's your market. It's all to do, anything to do with solar. Jonty is your man, and it'll be on BizNews. Stu will make sure that it's prominently displayed. Also, as you say, any of the Geltech articles, but there's it's in the newsletter as well. Every day on the Daily Insider, we've got your crypto price. Mm-hmm. Sure, you must be happy about what's been going on crypto.
Yeah, no, you know, it was painful initially, you know, so we launched a crypto market before it's regulated. We wanted to, you know, cement ourselves in the market before it become flooded with competitors. And initially, you know, the crypto price dropped and we weren't very popular, but it's, you know, skyrocketed. We got investors who, a number of them are business community members who've made, you know, 100% return already, but this is the crypto market. You know, you haven't made a return until you sold. Personally, I've been invested for a long time. If it doubles, I'm not selling. If it triples, I'm not selling. I'm in it to either make a lot of money or none. So, yo, we're smiling. We recently received our license, three licenses. The one which we're very excited about is in our custody service. You know, so there are a lot of people who have crypto and they're holding it on an exchange or on a hard drive. And we've got a really affordable solution where it's managed and protected in an incredible way. And that's, you know, area of our business where we are seeing a lot of growth. And people have realized that keeping their money on an exchange isn't probably the most wise thing to do. But the crypto market's exciting and it's now regulated. And financial advisors are now starting to offer crypto to their clients, small amount. But I think over time, it'll become prominent. No doubt over the next 2 years, one of the exchanges will list an ETF, a Bitcoin ETF or an Ether ETF, and that'll just make crypto more prominent in SA. But the FSCA have really been on the forefront internationally in terms of introducing regulation. So, you know, it's been impressive working with them, and, you know, we're excited about this space.
Just quickly before we go, if I buy a Bitcoin now, to buy one Bitcoin is a huge capital investment. I mean, if it's sitting at $60,000, you can multiply that by nearly 20. So it's 1.2 million rand that you've got to find for a single Bitcoin. Can you buy fractions? I mean, do you help people to do that? And then secondly, once you've got that fraction, do you have to kind of try and remember the password with your custodian system, or is there something else? I know that I have friends who worried about forgetting their password or waking up one day and they've forgotten it, and hearing these terrible stories about people who had 10 Bitcoin in the past and now they can't remember the password, so they've gone.
Yeah, so you can buy fractions with us. So we have three investment solutions. We've got Bitcoin only. You can buy, you know, a small fraction of a Bitcoin. We've got Ethereum only, and then we have a basket. The basket is 15 top cryptocurrencies. We've got a criteria as to why some cryptos aren't in there. We've got a full-time team who just focus on crypto. And the beauty to your point is, you know, you would invest with us. Very simple. It's a form. Complete the form. You'll get a request for FICA documents and you'll make payment. And then you'll receive monthly a statement from us. And if you ever want to exit, you just pop us an email or go onto our platform and do a withdrawal. You don't need to remember passwords, and you can even phone our office and we'll go through a verification process. It's simple, seamless. You don't have to be a tech genius to figure it out. And then in the worst case scenario, God forbid something happens to you, your your loved ones or whoever's managing your estate can phone us. We'll go through a verification process, and we can then, you know, return either the Bitcoin or the capital. But it's really a seamless and I think extremely safe environment for your crypto. All my crypto is either invested in our investment products or housed on, you know, Joltik's digital safety deposit box. So it's a really great solution. And obviously I am biased, but there's a huge amount of interest, and we, you know, we manage a lot of money in this space.
Okay, so there's two options. Thank you, Jonty. You've got the we've spoken about the solar with 12B. There, the government is helping you, and you want to state proof yourself a little bit more. Well, you can now give make some investments into your Bitcoin. By the way, I know you've got Ethereum and a basket, but when I listen to Stafford Marcy, he says Bitcoin only. He's a Bitcoin maximalist, but crypto is crypto, and I guess that's what makes a market. Jonty, always good talking with you. Mr. Lohman, can you come in now and tell us when we are going to be able to pass on the recording of this conversation?
Excellent. Thanks, Alec and Jonty. Thanks for a good session. Alec, yes, your team will get the video up in the next couple of hours, and I'll distribute it, as you mentioned, in the newsletter tomorrow morning. But it is available on the BizNews TV channel, or it will be available on the BizNews TV channel on YouTube in the next few hours for those listening.
Well, thank you again, Stu. Thank you, Jonty, for guiding us through another fantastic webinar. And, you know, our community just loves this because the format of webinars is such that we take complicated concepts. And by the end of the hour, it's no longer complicated anymore. We can understand it depending on how good the presenter is. And you were an excellent presenter today. So thank you for that. And until the next time, I'm Alec Hogg. Cheerio. We'll be right back.